Hi everyone, it's Thursday night and we are with you again. It's the lovely Giselle. I've been Stranra, and you have Ngum, who is just there looking to start the next thing. You know what she's like, everyone.
Guys,
and
you don't even
myself.
say anything.
And today we are going back to look at continue our series of the Beatitudes, so Matthew chapter 5. I think the first part is available online if you want to go back and have a listen at that. So Matthew chapter 5, we did the first Beatitude. That was a few weeks ago now, actually. So today we're going to be looking at the second Beatitude, which is blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So that's Matthew chapter 5 and it's verse 4. So the first beatitude we looked at was blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the second one is blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's a very interesting and almost sort of contradictory statement, because I mean, when sometimes when we hear the word blessed, we wouldn't really associate that with mourning. But you know, G, as the pastor here, can you sort of shed some light as to what you think that verse speaks to?
Okay, well, I believe the minute everybody hears or reads the word mourn, they think of loss of a loved one, a family member, friend, or whatever. But what I believe, that is it too. But what I believe they're talking about here, that God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. As born again believers and as prayer warriors, we're to mourn the situation of the nations of the world.
Ah, okay.
Right. Okay.
That's a good take on it. Okay.
That is deep. Is it, you like that one? And when we mourn, really mourn what's happening in the world, we'll be blessed.
Reach it, Pastor.
Good night. I'm away now. I don't need to say any more. Bye-bye.
Holy handkerchief.
Yeah, oh.
Somebody
Holy
smelling
handkerchief.
that whistle came from, guys.
Okay, that's very interesting. So you're then saying it's mourning the current situation in the world, and obviously the lack of belief, and just having the heart of Christ for unbelievers, and mourning that, because obviously, we're told that Jesus desperate you would leave the 99 to even go after the one. And say, so if we have that heart and we mourn the unbelief of unbelievers, then we'll be comforted, because obviously we know God will right that in the end. That's interesting. When you, what does this verse speak of to you?
I think I saw it really in a literal sense. And you're right. If you're mourning, you don't necessarily feel blessed. So it's a very difficult one, but for me, I think every time I hear this verse, there's just that assurance that, God is there if you're going through a difficult situation, if you're mourning. And I think we spoke about this last time. The more you think about it, the more you realize that even in your pain, God blesses you, because the coping strategies that you get are really blessings, right? So for example, if you are going through a difficult period and you have a friend there to support you. So for example, my own family recently had a bereavement, and it was the blessing was obvious. As difficult as it was, people really rose up to support us, friends, even people that we didn't necessarily expect anything from. And I think that's when you really know that, God's hand is upon a situation. When people you don't even know go out of their way to help you, and you just see, help and love arise from different places. So, as difficult as it is, those things kind of cushion you. They make the pain easier. And so that is the blessing. And I think that's where the comfort comes from.
There's this idea, I think, of the fact that even though you're in that, because sometimes when you're going through it, you don't necessarily feel,
No, you don't.
you don't feel the comfort, do you? It's that assurance that even though you're going through that, there is a blessing. And I think even just to think about the fact that there's a blessing in that, that in itself is a comfort. To think that in what would could be or is your darkest moment, which is grief for a lot of people. Grief is can be a terribly isolating but also life-shattering feeling and process to go through. But to know that even in that desperate situation and destitute situation where you find yourself, that you're not alone and you're not forsaken. And there's a blessing to be had in that situation, and that God provides for you even in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is, I think this verse really speaks about the character of God in the sense that I really feel like God isn't, what was the word I'm looking for? Like, God always does good things. Like, there is just no way, nothing else that can come from God but good. So even in your very difficult situations, He will always find a way. Like, in the English language, they say every cloud has a silver lining. There isn't anything, and if you like, take an inventory of your life. You may not be able to see it immediately, but even the worst situation in your life always has something, whether it's a lesson for you to not go down that path in future, or something that people can learn from. But that's just the thing with God, because His essence is goodness. He cannot do any other way. So that's why, even in those horrible things, blessings will still come out. And I think somebody once said that a blessing is really like something that God gives you to strengthen you for your journey of life, right? And so that's why, even in a difficult time, He actually, you needed more in that time. And it's often when, say, that the time has passed and you're looking years later or months later, and you begin to think, I don't know how I went through that. Well, that was God standing there with you. So you may not feel it. And this is another thing, those blessings are not dependent on our feelings. God doesn't need anybody's permission to bless you. Like, He would do whatever, regardless of what who thinks. So yeah, it's really important for us to have that comfort. And just because you don't feel it, it doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, and also I think, now might be a really good point to talk about the word blessed or blessed, because
Yes.
I think that's a very it's a very interesting word, I think, because oftentimes, and certainly within certain Christian circles, when the words blessing or blessed is used, it's quite often in a materialistic sense. It's quite often in a prosperity sense. But I think, let's explore the word blessed. When you hear the word blessed, here Jesus, this is obviously Jesus. So if you have a Bible where it highlights the bits that Jesus speaks, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount is practically highlighted as Jesus's words. And Jesus says, "You're blessed." So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So there's a promise of a blessing here. But when we think about that word blessing, gee, what should we be imagining as a blessing or the blessing?
Well, the
Because it's
biblical
not really
term,
material, is it? It's not a material
no,
thing.
it's not. But the biblical term for blessed is made holy, consecrated. Right.
Your low yeah, and tell us more.
That's plain and simply what it is.
Really? I never knew,
And did you not? You see, stick around, my dear. You learn things from me, don't you?
G is on fire, guys.
Yes.
No, don't bring the extinguisher. We like it.
So you can be blessed in the middle of your storm. You're still going through your storm. You might be in the middle of it and there's still a way to go out of it, but you can be blessed. So you can be set apart, made holy, consecrated, and you will get through all this. So you will. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have every riches here in the earthly realm, but when you get to the heavenly realm, yes, that's where all your riches are stored up. So every blessing here on earth is, it's a blessing to have fiery darts fired at you. I love the fiery darts being fired at me from the enemy, because that means I'm close to a breakthrough and the enemy is trying to trip me up. So I give thanks for them. I say, hallelujah, come on, bring them on, Satan. Is that all you can throw at me? And I sing God's praises in the middle of the storm. I really do. And
Wow.
I think we should be like that, because every time we're close to a breakthrough, that's when our attacks happen.
Oh, they are crazy. They are crazy.
But also remember that not every attack is from the enemy. Some of it's our own stupidity.
They won't do
Yes,
it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like
I do feel sorry for Satan sometimes, because he gets the blame of
that.
things he didn't do. You know, but
Don't take it really.
I do. He can
Yeah.
change. Yeah, he's got
I
no.
mean, I think, yeah, you can take it. Yeah, sometimes then sometimes they're not even necessarily attacks, they're just consequences, right? So we need to kind of be accountable. That's why it pays to be sincere with yourself and be sincere with the Holy Spirit. And then you can just distinguish. If it's a consequence, then you repent and find a way to put it right, right? And then, if it's, some stupid thing that you did, you learn. Right, so that when it's a real attack, like you're geared up, you're ready to go, rather than waste like dispensing energy on things that don't really need that energy.
Exactly. So we can be blessed in the middle of every storm, and that's where
Because we're
we're at.
set apart, we're holy and
Yes, I really like
consecrated.
that
I
definition,
like that.
because like Sidonie said,
That's simply
yep,
what it is. That's
yeah.
what it means, nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So is that like a translation from the Aramaic or something? Gee, I'm just interested.
I'm not really sure. I just know what blessed means.
I just
Okay.
love that it's set apart, made holy, consecrated, special. Yeah. Oh,
Sure.
I like that.
You're special. Well,
So
you are special.
when people go, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and
Exactly.
highly favored. That's
Exactly.
what they really mean, Yeah, I like
It's
that.
got nothing to do with your circumstances or your surroundings. It's more to do with your relationship and who you are in Christ. It's
Your
more to
inner
do with
peace.
your anchor in Christ. It's
Yes.
more to do
Yes.
with, who it is, your identity in Christ. And so if you are consecrated and you are set apart and you are holy, then you mourn in a different way.
Yes.
Comfort
Yes.
in that morning, because then certainly for those that of your loved ones that have died as Christians, there's comfort and hope. There's comfort in the knowledge that you will see them again.
Yes.
And yeah, that is a tremendous comfort as well in itself. That is a
It
tremendous
is.
comfort, when you know that even death has been defeated, when you know that death is not the end,
Yes.
because you're set apart, because you're consecrated to the Lord, and because those who are Christians are consecrated, then you know that even if they die, it's not the end, because you will see them again. And so you mourn with hope.
Yes.
You mourn with You don't mourn with the destitute and the finality of like those who mourn knowing that this is the end.
Yes.
You mourn knowing that this is not goodbye, it's see you again.
Yes.
It's a
Wow.
different
Yeah.
of mourning. And that's a comfort.
Yeah, it's a huge comfort. And I think this is why for many Christians, they're really desperate even about their family knowing the Lord. Because if you have people here that you love, You don't want it to end here. You know, there are many
No.
people that I've met on this earth. I don't want to, you know,
I
I don't want our relationship
want
to end here. Yeah,
to
it has to be vibes, eternal, you know. So you want that. And sometimes it's really hard if you have a friend or family member who isn't safe, whom you really love, like who's a really cool person. You're like, man, no guy, you and I have to carry this on. So I think that's why it's really important to pray for those whom we love, who don't know the Lord, and even those who know the Lord, right? Because things happen. Just to pray for everyone. And when you have that opportunity to get people to really think about their life in the here, is it the hereafter? Because a lot of people don't think about it. And you know, if you're not in Christ, people don't like to hear this, but this is the reality. You know, if you believe, you know, we know that Jesus is God. We know the evidence. Nobody else has died and come back from the death and defeated death, right? So if this person is telling you that I'm the only door, he means what he's saying. And so it's really important that we try and keep this relationship with him and also do our best to get people through that only door.
That's it.
That's, yeah.
There's a lovely, interesting comment about mourning from
Okay.
in the live stream from the lovely Rachel. She writes, I sometimes think it means that it refers to being sorry for the things we've done in the past, which we can't change, and therefore we are forgiven. That's
That's
a
a good that's a really good one, Rachel. Thank you for that.
interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah, like
Yes,
remorseful.
that's even better than mine mourning for the nations. But we shouldn't eternally mourn our sins.
No.
No, I don't think
No.
so. I don't think we
No.
should.
But
We
mourning,
can't.
but mourning, you don't stay in mourning all the time. You, like it says in
No.
Ecclesiastes, there's a time to mourn and a time for joy. You have time to plant, a time to a harvest and everything. So there is a certain time, and
The
everybody's
seasons.
mourning is goes through a different time in a different way. One's not fit all, but especially, not even especially born again believers. We know they've gone on ahead of us to glory. Why should be sitting wringing our hands and worry and mourning for them? Let's be happy, let's be joyful that they're in glory. And if they're not born again believers, well, all your worrying and everything will not do anything for them then.
Won't change anything. Yeah,
So
and I
have the
think
encouragement, get over that mourning process quickly, and have the encouragement to go out and help encourage
get
other
more
people
people.
to know Christ.
Yeah, I think it's important for you to say this about mourning being in seasons. And you know, it's not really something that you can't prescribe a mourning season. People are different. But I think it's important because some people feel like mourning should be forever, right? You will meet some people who will be like, let's say, for example, somebody lost their partner. You could meet them 30, 40 years on, and they're just like, oh, my husband, my husband. And for some people, they feel that it's the right thing to do, to forever mourn that person till the day they meet them. And if you're listening and you're one of those people, truly speaking, there is a season, because at the end of the day, you are not really proving anything. Like, if you feel that that's your own way of showing loyalty to that person, number one, when people are dead, they are cut off from this world. So it's really not even having that kind of impact. And then secondly, you also deny yourself the opportunity to have joy, because Jesus said that he came that you may have joy, right? Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, okay, Good Friday, she was crying and everything, but she got the chance to have joy, yeah, in the resurrection. She got the chance to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I bet that day she was like, oh, this was worth it, you know. So yes, it's hard. And I know if somebody's like in the middle of their mourning, to tell them about joy, it's almost as if you're disrespecting their mourning. But yes, there is room for joy. And when you feel, because there will be times when you feel those, I don't know, pangs of joy, if you like. Sometimes you may want to suppress it. You feel guilty, like, oh, I should be mourning. No, if you feel joy, allow yourself to feel joy.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep because, like you say, when people are going through that, it's a big pill to swallow. It's a big pill to swallow.
But
But yeah, I just want to go.
you can swallow that big pill.
You can swallow it, you can,
You
and you
really have some
should.
water. The Holy Spirit is
And I
your
speak
water.
from experience on it. I was left a widow in Florida. No family, no friends around me. And it was either sink or swim, and I swam. And it was only my faith that got me through that. It was God
Wow.
got me from America back to Northern Ireland and now living in Scotland. And all glory to God for everything he's done for me. But
Amen.
after about maybe 6 months, no, maybe 4 months, and I'm sitting in Northern Ireland by myself. No friends running around me even there, and I'm, oh, woe me, oh, nobody loves me, I'm going to go eat worms. And God literally kicked my behind and told me to get up and shake myself down. And everything started then, and everything was brilliant after that. He gave
Wow.
me the strength, he gave me the encouragement, he gave me the supernatural strength that I needed to get over the death of my late husband. I've remarried again. I think about my late husband every now and again, but do I mourn him? No, I don't, because I know where he is. He's in heaven waiting there. And would I want him back to be bedridden, more or less a vegetable laying in that hospital bed for the rest of his life again? No, I wouldn't. I'm happy that he's gone and he's in a better place.
Wow. And
Like
thank you
hope
for
one.
sharing that. I really hope that's an encouragement to somebody. And I loved the fact that you talked about the supernatural strength to heal from your mourning period, because I think sometimes people think that they can do it all by themselves, and you may be able to. And you can read books, you can go to counseling. I recommend all these things. But I also believe that, sometimes, a lot of the time, in fact, most of the time, it takes the power of God to help you go through certain things. And so there's nothing wrong in leaning into God and just saying, you know what, Lord, I'm tired. I can't do this. Help me.
And I think, I think maybe that's where we need to get to. Well, not need to get to. I think that's where we ought to start from. Because sometimes we almost kind of leave God and Jesus until the last option, until we've tried everything else. And
When
nothing
it's,
else has worked. Yeah.
and
And
then
we're just
you're like,
deep
oh,
down
help
in,
me.
yeah, in the
And
valley. And then we cry out for help. But perhaps
then,
we could learn to cry out for help, at the start and where we are, and just say, you know what, this is just too big for me to carry, and I don't know how I'm going to carry this. I don't even know where to start. Just give me the strength to put one foot in front of the other today. And sometimes that's all you need to say. And the Bible says when we're strong, when we're weak, then he's strong. And so if we really do just hand it over to him, he's more than able.
of course.
He's more than able. In him is abundance of love and grace, and he's merciful and he is compassionate. I truly believe that God is like our human nature is but a little tiny window into the nature of God. I think, if our capacity to love and empathize and be compassionate is 1 billionth, if that, or 1 trillionth of God's capacity, we are but a little window, a little peep into the abyss that is eternal love and compassion and mercy. And you touched on this earlier when you said all good things come from him. Like he is good. Like
Yeah,
nothing
he's not
else
capable.
can yeah nothing else can flow from him but goodness. Nothing
Good.
else can flow from him, because he is love. Like he embodies love, he embodies mercy, he embodies compassion and grace and faithfulness. And so he will not see you languish in
Yeah,
pain
definitely
and
not.
not come to your help.
No, he won't. And
Yeah. And
Sidonie,
sometimes you
yeah.
don't even ask him, he comes.
No,
Talk
you
more
do.
of
I
when you
mean,
invite him.
yeah, just ask for the sake of it. Because you know, when you said about we should actually start, right, with God, you are so right. Because when I look back at situations where I've been in a crisis, everything was already prepared for me. The reason why I see that looking back is because I jump into it helter skelter. And then, like months later, I think, oh, yeah, but that person was there. God had already prepared that stuff for you.
Course.
So I actually thought about this the other day, and I've decided, hold me to this, ladies. But when next I'm in a situation, rather than dealing with all the stress and disappointments that you can face from just charging in head forward, it's good to actually take time. And it's hard, right? But if you take your time and you say to God, this has happened, I'm stuck. I really don't know what to do. Help me. And you can begin to even suggest to him how he can help you. I mean, your suggestions may be completely irrelevant. But for example, something like show me who to go to. Because I feel like a lot of the time we have a crisis, right? We rely on certain people, they don't come through for us, and we feel hurt. And we feel like they don't care. Sometimes it's not even that they don't care, it's a capacity thing as well. Sometimes people are just not able to. So even though I think that Giselle should be able to help me with this, maybe at that point, normally you would be able to do it, but you're going through something in your life at that point. Or maybe it's just not your strength. And then I get upset with you. But if I'd sat down with God, God may have said, go to this person, go to that person. And I say this only because looking back, I've seen how God has literally elected people to help me in situations like these. People have gone, Sidonie being one of them, above and beyond. And I'm just like, I could never have asked for this. So God always has the solutions to our problems. It's whether we trust him. It's whether we actually have that knowledge even to go. Because some people don't even know to go and ask God. We're so used to doing things by ourselves. But and sometimes you feel like, me personally, I used to feel like, ah, God is going to be slow. As I want it now. But I'm beginning to learn that, you know what? It's better to wait for a week with God than to charge in there by yourself, because you will almost certainly be wrong. Make a
Exactly.
mistake.
There's two, there's sorry, there's two comments in the live stream I want to read to the two of you. Rebecca Brown. Oh, this is sad. She writes, I lost my little dog in the river yesterday and found her in her forever sleep. My head is everywhere right now. Like
Oh,
losing
sorry, Rebecca.
is every bit
Oh,
bad. It's, yeah, it really is. So we will be praying for Rebecca.
Rebecca. Oh,
And
sorry, Rebecca.
yeah, that is sad. But the lovely little Lucy Hosking,
Hi, Lucy.
this is breaking my heart. I am going through a very hard time. This is all so relevant. My husband is very mentally ill, so I have to live away. He has also fallen from God or confused on the scriptures. Lucy needs prayer, and her husband needs prayer big time.
Yeah.
We will pray for you, Lucy.
Yes.
We really will. And Lucy, thank you, darling, for opening up to us here on the live stream with that. That took a lot of guts to write that. That it did.
Exactly.
That really
Exactly.
did.
Lucy, can I encourage you? I don't know. I'm not sure if you're part of a church. Can I encourage you to find a local church family? Just people that can be there for you right now. And we'll do our best. If you reach out to one of us three ladies here, in the group, I'm sure we'll be more than happy to hold your hand through this.
Big time.
We can pray with you as well.
Yes, but nothing replaces the physical church touch, and nothing replaces the local church. And so if you are able to, I would say find a local church family that will hold your hand and pray with you and pray over your situation. And if you're not able to, we'll do that with you online, because we believe that God is not bound by technology or time or space. But hold on to God. He won't let go of you. And if your husband was a believer before he started being ill, I also believe that God will not let go of him. If He is more lucid, and in his lucid times, he's making conscious choices to reject God and scripture. Then that's another conversation altogether, perhaps. But if he's just doing it as a result of his illness, then I do not believe that God will reject him for that. But we'll pray. We'll carry on praying for you. And like I said, reach out to one of us, and we'll be more than happy to carry on the conversation with you in private. But thank you for sharing that. That's hard, and like you said, that took a lot to share that openly.
Yes.
Big, big time. And you see, that brings it home to us where she says that, this is all re very relevant to me at the minute. Here's us three crazy women who love each other greatly, but we love God more. And I enjoy doing these Thursday night talk times because we have a laugh, we have a giggle, but it is all biblically based. And everything we talk about helps people. Might not be actually on the live stream, but even people who listen on Spotify or one of the other channels
100%.
or YouTube or whatever later on, it's helping people.
100%. And
Yes, absolutely.
grief is a very deep and personal thing.
Absolutely. Yes, one
And
size
it
does
can,
not fit all.
yes. And it's, you know, by all means, what we're speaking of here is not prescriptive. But what is prescriptive is that don't let go of God. Because
Yes.
in him, I could tell you 100% that in God, it's abundance of joy and
Yes,
love.
absolutely.
And just tap into it, because it's hard when you're going through that. It's hard. But just tap into that, because he's there, and he's the great comforter. He wants to comfort you. You just need to be willing to want to be comforted. Because sometimes when we're grieving, we don't want to be comforted.
Yeah,
We
that's a good
don't
point.
want to be comforted when we're grieving.
That's a good point. And I have to say, back to what Giselle said, sometimes negative emotions can be addictive, guys. So there is that cycle of you're grieving, and then so for some people you get a lot of sympathy, or you're just comfortable sitting there and doing nothing, right? So grief can literally lock you in. It can become a form of bondage. That's why it's really important to seek support. It's really important to keep yourself going and to pursue joy.
And God, it get God can give you all of that. He's waiting to give you all of that. If only you will come to him, and acknowledge that you need him. And just going back to the point you made earlier about mourning, being as a believer, just mourning the state of life this side of heaven. That is such an important point, and I don't want us to completely push that aside, because if there's no way that you can love God and Jesus and not love man, there's no way that you can say you love God but not have a heart for man, and there's no
Emergency.
way you can say you love God and sin doesn't grieve you.
Yeah.
That's deep, yeah. It's
If
true.
you truly love God, if you're truly born again, and you truly understand what it takes to be saved, which is the death of Christ, there's no way that sin will not grieve you. Doesn't mean you won't sin. Doesn't mean you're not a sinner. Even your own, in fact, your own sin will grieve you more, because you know that you're just driving that nail in into his arms and his feet that bit more.
Yes.
But when you understand and you acknowledge and you realize the debt and the price that was paid for that debt, then suddenly it's like everywhere you turn, there's sin. Everywhere you turn, something is wrong. Within your own heart, something is wrong. All around you, there's sin, and that grieves you. But that should grieve you and move you to prayer. Pray for people. Love people. Because you were won over by love. Don't let it push you to be a self-righteous Pharisee. Okay? Let your grief not turn you into a Pharisee. I am better than you. Woe betide you, sinner. No. Let your sin turn you into the Good Samaritan. Let your sin turn you into the one who's willing to sit with the sinners and the tax collector like Jesus and break bread with them. That should be the end goal of your grief and your mourning. It should move you to compassion. It should move you to prayer. It should move you to want to love the sinner and show them the love of God and the love that God has for them. It should not move you away from them. It should not want to make you take a sabbatical from the world because there's so much sin in the world, you really cannot live in the world. It should not make you want to remove yourself from the world because I really cannot deal with the world. There's so much sin out there. No. It should make you want to be in the world. It should make you want to spread the love of God. It should make you want to spread the word of God. It's exactly because there's so much more sin out there. But you should also know you can't do that on your own. You can only do that with the grace of God. And so yes, let sin move you. Mourn for the state of the world. Mourn for the lack of belief. But let that move you to spread love and spread the gospel. Let that move you to pray for people, those around you, and just to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, because that's what we've been called to be. And it is only through that that people will come to Jesus. Yes, faith comes by hearing. In hearing the word of God, yes, it does. But like Ngum always says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Like, feed them. Preach the gospel, but feed them. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Do
Act
you
it
love me,
out.
Peter? Feed my sheep. So act it out, because that's the only way people are going to believe in this God. You can't tell someone God is love, but then you don't show them love. They're going to be like, what kind of God are you talking about?
Well,
So yes, I think it's been a really deep conversation. It's gone deeper than I
this
thought
one
it
has
would.
been a little sober. It's been a little sober, but yeah,
It's been
very. A very good conversation. And I think even though we've spoken here mainly about, the loss of a loved one, I think we said that before, it could be the loss of anything really. We mourn many things. We mourn marriages, careers, I don't know, ambitions, whatever. So this could be applied.
Lack of
And
children.
yes, and again, like you said, G, that thing about, just I feel really touched by hearing about, there being a period of mourning. It's funny because even in some cultures, you actually have a set period for mourning, right? Even though you're not, nobody is restricted to that timeline. But for example, where I'm from in Cameroon, if, say, somebody loses their partner, usually, yes, it's with a spouse, I think you have a year of mourning, and you can do that in different
I think
ways.
it's
Some
close
people choose,
family. It's
yeah, some people
parents,
choose to wear.
children, spouse.
Yes, and they'll have like a year of mourning, and then they have a whole ceremony, right, to say that, they declare the end. And usually you'll take off, symbolically take remove your mourning clothes and then change into, so that just shows you that life is about seasons and transitions. And a lot of the time, unfortunately, emotions keep us stuck in one place. So if there's anything, and I think it's a huge lesson even for me to learn that sometimes the reason why you're feeling so low is because you're stuck in a place that you should have left. God tells you to move on because he's got something else for you.
Big time. Big time. I agree wholeheartedly. And right now, I'm mourning. I am in mourning right now. Four decisions made in France. 2 days ago, the French government has declared abortion your constitutional right. And people, pro-abortion groups, are shouting to the UK government that we should be next in doing that. So we all need to be in mourning for that. We really do. And let's hope it doesn't happen. I'll
Yes.
probably get slated for that, but I don't care.
No, I mean, if you're a Christian, it's very clear what the scripture says about, ending a life, let alone an innocent life, right? So, we know these things often happen around certain circumstances, and we don't want to be insensitive. That said, the word of God is what it is. And,
Exactly.
if you look at the Bible, there's a long history of God getting people out of all kinds of hot water, So, if that is your situation and you feel that you're desperate, again, like we said before, cry out to God. It doesn't matter whether you feel sinful, whether you shouldn't have had this relationship or fornicated or whatever. God helped Hagar in the desert. She wasn't entitled to any help. So if he could help somebody who had clearly done wrong, why do you think he's not going to help you because you fornicated or, it's not to say
Exactly.
that you should act entitled, but he is a God of compassion and love. So,
Exactly.
we could say whatever we want, and without meaning to hurt people. But the fact remains, the minute a human life is deliberately ended, that is, murder,
That's
if we're
murder.
honest. Yeah.
That is murder. And in politics, I am here to stand up for the unborn child, for their rights. We all have rights. Michael has just walked into the room and he says, "What about his rights?"
On that
Does my
note,
darling
hey
husband
Michael,
have any rights?
Michael's human rights.
Hold on.
He's gonna have a placard in a minute. He's gonna have a sign. What do we want? Michael's rights. What do we want now? So you have
Oh,
so much
ladies.
readers with that.
I know, but no, it's been a wonderfully anchoring and sobering conversation. So thank you,
Yes,
ladies.
very much so. Thank you. Really appreciate
Shall
it.
we
Thank you
pray
both,
before we
ladies.
say good night?
Yes. Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that is so complete, and deals with conversations that we perhaps shy away from in the culture today. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings to be found in the state of mourning. Thank you, Lord, for comforting us when we grieve and when we mourn. Lord, we ask that you would help us to always remember that you are with us. You're never too far away from us. You're always there. In fact, you promise to never leave us nor forsake us. New Father, we want to lift up Lucy to you, Lord. We ask that this would be true for her, that she would know this and feel this truth. We ask, Lord, that you would cover her and her husband, help him, Lord, with his mental health. We pray, Lord, that he gets better and that he's also able to feel your love and your comfort. Lord, we pray for Rebecca, who's lost a dog just yesterday. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort her and that the grief will not be too much for her to bear. We pray, Lord, for everyone in the group that has lost someone recently or perhaps in the past, but still holding on to that grief. Lord, show them the way out, help them navigate the grief so that they may exit that season. And that when they look back, they'll be able to see you there with them, carrying them and leading them and showing them the way. Lord, we ask that we will remember these truths for ourselves when we ourselves are in mourning. We ask that we would remember these truths for ourselves when our loved ones are in mourning. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of Christians that mourn sin around us. Help us, Lord, to be the light of the world, to show your love and your compassion and your holy ways to those around us. Give us the grace. to be the light of the world. In a world that can often feel dark sometimes, help us, Lord, to be that beacon of light that points people to the cross and to the ultimate sacrifice and debt paid for the sin of all humanity. Lord, for those that mourn their own sin that they may have committed, and they still grieve those sins, wondering whether they are truly forgiven or whether you really ever could forgive that kind of sin. Give them comfort, Lord, to know, Lord, that your love and your blood washes away all sin. Though the sin may be as scarlet, yet your love will wash it to be as white as snow. Help those that are struggling with that concept to know that they are truly forgiven and they need not mourn anymore. Help us, Lord, to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Help us to be willing participants in the work that He is doing in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace to know you, for the privilege to be comforted by you and to be called by name by you. We ask, Lord, that you would keep us all safe until next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you very much, Sidani, for the beautiful prayer. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone. It was lovely.
Good night, everyone.
Night, night.
We'll answer a lot of those questions and comments tomorrow, okay?
We will.
Good night.
Night, night.
Night.
And good night, everybody, on Zoom and on playback. Good night.
Bye.